Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
10% tariffs with the United States are our new normal. Well, that's the downbeat message which Taoiseach Simon Harris will deliver to a trade forum today, while continuing to insist that zero for zero tariffs may yet be agreed in some specific sectors. This comes as EU negotiators continue to meet their US counterparts in Washington. Let's get more on this now with Deputy Business Editor with the Sunday Times, John Isle. John, thanks for being with us this morning. Now, that 10% tariffs with the United States being our new normal, that notion comes after a downbeat assessment in Brussels telling EU member states that you're not going to get stability in this relationship. That won't happen, apparently, was the answer given to member states when they asked how things will look after all of this. It doesn't bode well for these trade talks that are currently underway.
No, certainly not. And I think what we've learned, at least over the last 3 months, since the so-called Liberation Day on April 2nd, is that Trump will use the desire of the trading partners for stability as leverage against them. And he's quite happy to live in a chaotic environment as long as certain things are going his way. And at the moment, for him, politically and economically, things do seem to be going his way. He regards the bombing of Iran as a success. He's trying to put pressure on Israel to agree a ceasefire in Gaza. That looks like it may work out. The stock market has hit record highs in recent days in the United States. Bond markets are calm. Economic indicators generally look pretty good over in the United States. And I think that is all of those are indicators for Trump to push his luck with trading partners. You see the way he's treating Japan at the moment, where he's just said he thinks those talks are going to break down and that the automobile industry in Japan will be facing 30 to 35% tariffs for exporting to the United States. He obviously feels emboldened. He feels like he's in a secure position to push these negotiations. And we must also remember that 90 days is really not a lot of time to conclude the type of intricate discussions and multifaceted agreements that these trade talks require. So it was always ambitious to get it done by July 8th. And I do agree with the Taoiseach that 10% at least is probably baked in it.
So if that is the case, if 10% is what is going to happen, and it seems like that's the best case scenario, right? What does that mean for us? What does that look like for the Irish economy?
Well, it's not the end of the world. That's the good news, Claire. The ESRI did a study kind of calculating the long-term impact, looking out about 4 years. And this was published earlier in the year. And the hit to the Irish economy is not monumental. In fact, we probably won't notice it. It's more an opportunity cost than anything else. We're not going to be tipped into recession. We won't see job losses or anything like that. But what we'll be sacrificing is growth we would have had, employment we would have had, so jobs we would have created, companies that would have launched, that kind of thing. And it will add up to about 1 to 1.5% off the size of the economy after 4 years. So that's really kind of supplementary spending, etc. What I guess the government has to think about is how we're using our current resources to prepare for that time, for a kind of a lower growth environment, less trade with the United States, and a less rosy future than maybe we would have expected.
Mm-hmm. And caution all around then when it comes to spending, despite the commitment to ramp up on infrastructure.
That's certainly the byword now, and it'll be very interesting watching the budget negotiation process coming into October. The central bank governor, Gabriel McClough, sent a letter to the minister, as he does every year, outlining what his concerns about the economy are. And the central bank is saying we actually need to spend more on infrastructure than we're already spending. And that money has to come from somewhere. There isn't going to be enough in the Future Ireland Fund that is being generated by corporate windfall taxes. We'll have to broaden the tax base, find sources of income elsewhere. And if the economy isn't growing as fast as anticipated, it will be harder to find those surplus funds to pay for things like an aging population or more roads and railways and ports and all of the things that keep the economy humming. So there's a lot of tough choices to be made in the future, maybe not this year, but certainly for years to come.
Okay, now you mentioned that Donald Trump feels that he's on the up at the moment, things are going well for him. The issue of tariffs not really featuring, though, in the headlines in the United States. I mean, they're all talking about the big, beautiful bill. So where is the win for him in pushing this?
Well, it's one of his signature policies, and he's managed to frame it for domestic consumption as you know, these other countries are paying for the tariffs. We all know economically that the American consumer will be paying this ultimately, but it is tied in a strange way. To this bill that has just passed the Senate and is being sent back to the House for ratification, is that the tax cuts in his formulation are going to be paid for in part by the revenue raised by tariffs. So the tariffs remain a kind of very important plank to his overall economic plan, such as it is. But really, as you point out, if you look at the New York Times today or the Washington Post, they're not talking about these trade negotiations with Japan or the EU. They're talking about the Senate bill. They're talking about foreign policy, what's happening in Ukraine, what's happening in Gaza. This tariff stuff is really old news at this point. You can sort of see it in the stock market behavior. It's gone out of the headlines because Americans' 401ks are performing fine. So it's just not an issue anymore unless it's a crisis.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it may be pushed to a crisis next week, and markets may wake up to the long-term danger of not coming to an agreement with America's largest trading partners. But for now, everybody's very relaxed over there.
All right, John, thank you so much. John Isle there from the Sunday Times. Now, in the Dublin Circuit Criminal Court, this trial was expected to begin today of former Kilkenny hurler DJ Carey. He's facing 21 fraud and forgery charges. The latest, though, from the court, this from our colleague in the newsroom, Laura Fletcher, is that DJ Carey has pleaded guilty to 10 charges of deception. Now, we're waiting for more news to come in from that hearing, but we do know that he will be sentenced now on the 29th of October. He had previously denied all those charges against him, and the trial, which began today, was expected to last 5 weeks. Things have changed, though, in the last couple of minutes with that guilty plea. We'll bring you more on that as we get it. Coming up, though, tennis in the heat. We're going to find out about a blistering Wimbledon and the price of strawberries and cream in London. Plus, we know all about dynamic pricing when it comes to gigs and to plane tickets, but how would you feel about dynamic pricing in your supermarket? That's all on the way.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.